You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hi, and welcome to The Compass, the podcast documenting the struggles of life as an artist. I'm Leah Walsh. My guest today is Kaiyun Kim. Kaiyun is a great actress who was a few years after me at Juilliard. I was in Chicago this week for a few days visiting my husband while he's working on a project there. And she's in town rehearsing for a new Tracy Letts play at Steppenwolf. And she was kind enough to agree to come over to our hotel room, talk with me for the podcast at the very last minute on her day off. So I'm grateful. It was great to see her because she lives in LA now, and it's been a while since we've seen each other in person. She's very excited about this play. So if you're in Chicago in the next month or so, I believe it begins March 30th. So check it out. I hope you enjoy the 68th episode of The Compass. Try to avoid going to the dark side as an artist, and what is the dark side for you?
Well, you know, I've been listening to the podcast, so I thought about a lot about what I was gonna say, but it's tricky because I feel like I'm on the dark side most of the time. I just cover it up very well, you know, as a person, I think. And sometimes I trick myself into saying that I'm not. But it's one of those things because even when you're, you know, being an actor, I've been fortunate enough to like work on different projects and stuff, but I found myself at a lot of the times, like while I'm working, being on the dark side.
Even when you're working?
When I'm working, actually more, because I think sometimes I have that, like that happiness, it comes because, you know, you wait and wait and wait for this job, and then it's like a catharsis, like you're like finally doing it, but then I'm already, before I start worrying about my next job, which is sometimes like hard, you know, so it's, I find myself really trying to reel back and focus on what I'm doing and living through the experience instead of, you know, worrying about what comes next.
Like, it's just about the process of getting the job.
Right.
Instead of actually the process while you're doing, the artistic process while you're doing the job.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's, you know, but right now I'm in a play and I'm, you know, and I'm having so much joy doing it. But also, like, I find myself being like, oh, like, I'm not good enough. I also deal with that a lot. Like, oh my God, like, this was a mistake. I think,
putting pressure on yourself.
Yeah, putting pressure on myself because, you know, you wait for that job so long and you finally get it. And you're like, because I spend so much time doubting myself when I don't necessarily have a job, that it sometimes seeps in, like, you know, like, oh, like, this was a mistake. They didn't really want me, but, you
know.
Can
I live up to the expectation that I have it?
Exactly. Like, can I live up to, like, whatever people thought I could do?
Right.
So I guess the way I deal with it a lot is really, really trying not to compare myself. That's a big thing for me. Yeah. Really trying to focus on just my process instead of, you know, compare myself with other people or just trying to put myself back on track. And also that my best friends, who are Scotty and Ismania, who I went to school with, who know me out inside and out, I actually like had a three-way Skype date with them like 5 days ago, and I forgot how much they keep me sane.
Yeah.
How much they because they know me, you know. They know when I do bad work. They know when I do good work. They know me at my worst, at my best, you know. So just to and share that experience, like, you know, my friend Jmenio was basically like, oh yeah, you're in that process, a 2-week process in a play where you feel like shit, you know. Yes.
And then it all turns out okay.
Yeah. And previews come and you're like, yeah, I'm all right, like, you can, you know, I went right to school for this.
No, but it takes time to realize that, oh, I that's right, I feel this way
right
every time 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And then it resolves itself.
Exactly.
And it all turns out fine.
Yes. Yeah.
But so, you have to know that it's going to turn out fine.
Right. I just have to, like, remind myself that,
yeah,
I'm, you know, I actually studied this, you yeah know.
So no, I mean, that was part of the reason why I first started this podcast, was having, like, a couple friends where, like, when I sat down with those friends, mm-hmm, the conversation just worked everything out and mm-hmm made me put the focus back on being a human being.
Right.
And being a loving friend and a right loving family member more than the business.
Right, totally.
And everything back in perspective. And so that kind of helped, is the point of a lot of these podcasts. But mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah, I totally relate to that.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah, it's really important to have good people around you too. Yeah. I think, you know, sometimes I'm so into my life, and also a lot of my close friends, I live in LA, so a lot of my close friends are in New York. And sometimes it's so easy to be self-involved.
Yeah.
You know, I'm also an only child, so it comes naturally, you know. So it, just to remind myself, oh, like, this isn't all life, you know. Right. This there is more to
take a step back. Yeah.
Yep. Totally.
Did you go to LA right after Juilliard?
I did. I went right after. There was a lot of factors into that. I didn't have a green card. I was on a student visa, so I was in the whole immigration process during showcase and stuff when mm-hmm I was graduating, and I met like 20 lawyers, more than 20 immigration lawyers. Oh, it was a crazy, I was more stressed out about that than the showcase, which is,
of course,
which is like,
yeah, tell me all about that, because I'm sure there are other people who are,
oh yeah,
struggling with that, or
totally
trying to figure that out.
It's a big part. If you don't have an American green card, and it's a really hard, especially now with administration of DT, Mr. DT, that it's getting,
he who shall not be named.
Voldemort. Thank God I got my green card right before he got elected, like literally came in the mail.
But it took that long.
It took long. So what happened was I graduated, and you know, you get this thing called OPT, which is an optional practical training. It just comes after a year after any student visa.
Okay.
After, if you go to university, it gives you a year to like pretty much do internships, you know, like make a resume for yourself. And with actors, we all know that's really hard. Right. You know, for an ear.
No, you have no control over whether you're going to be employed as an actor or not.
Yeah, no control. And so during that year, or when I was meeting lawyers, a lot of them were just like, you know, if you do theater, it's not going to help you for your next artist visa, because they want names. They want the networks, people, you know, that middle America knows, like, you know, you want those celebrity names attached to it. You want,
it's not necessarily like the amount of money you're making. It's more about,
okay, it's more about like when they read your visa, they want you, they want to know that, oh, you worked with all these super right famous people, and you
we're
have
on
these
this soap opera, and we
exactly
know what that is.
Yeah. So and also like with Broadway, I don't know the exact thing, but if you don't have a green card, they don't hire you. Like it Broadway especially, I think it's I didn't have any problem doing off Broadway shows or regional shows mm-hmm while I was on an artist visa, but I guess.
And that wasn't a union thing. It was more the immigration thing.
Yeah, I think it was a union thing. It's something to do with Actors Equity. They allow okay only certain amount of non-green card holders to, you know, they have a contract with that. But normally those goes to names. you know, like celebrities who come over and do. Right. So it was like, okay, well, I won't have a chance to really be on Broadway. So
I should. LA's better.
LA's better, and I'll have my resume. And, you know, so I left LA, and I was on an artist visa for 3 years. And then I just got my green card. And even that, people were like, you can't get a green card after 3 years of artist visa. Normally it takes people more than that, like 6-9 to be on an artist visa and then to have enough resume for them to even consider you. But because DT was running, I was like, you never know. America surprises you.
Right. So you know, put an extra effort to try to get it through.
Mm-hmm. And
good for you.
So that's how I got my green card. Yeah. And I finally got it.
How do you feel like, I mean, I know it's just been recent, but mm-hmm. how do you feel like your experience has changed since you got it?
And it might totally be accidental, but I just booked way more jobs after really? I got. Yeah. And this is
just like the red tape, like people are just less intimidated.
I think so. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't know if it even has to do anything with it. But when I was on an artist visa, you know, my reps and I talked about it a lot. After I booked the part, they would get really nervous about, because I booked parts and they would be like, oh, like she has an artist visa. Oh, like suddenly they were changing the, like they were like, oh,
even though that should be sufficient, like mm-hmm. you have a visa for this thing.
Yeah, but they're I was threatened to get fired a lot of the times after they found out that I had a visa after I booked the job.
Oh no.
So it was
being an actor is already nerve-wracking.
So nerve-wracking.
To try to get a job and then to feel like you have to be walking on pins and needles even after you've booked the job must be terrifying.
It was terrifying. It was definitely, and I was always worried, you know, when I was going out for pilots too, like with pilots, it's a little bit more easier because it's a bigger job, but you know, for guest spots or, you know, I was always worried for like, the costume fitting is when it normally happens. It's like the day after you book it and they give you a phone call and, you know, oh, they don't want to hire you anymore because you're not American. You know, I was always scared about that. So after I got my green card, I just booked way more jobs, but it might totally be not because of the green card. Right. It might also be
the perception, but
exactly. Yeah. It might be my attitude, you know, because I was more confident about it. You know, I wasn't worried.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but it definitely shifted.
So what was the process like for you being in LA, like since you moved out there till now, like building a community for yourself and like finding your way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a different city from New York.
Yeah, it's so different. When I first moved out there, I had a couple of classmates with me, which was amazing. And That's good. Also moved out with my ex-boyfriend.
Gotcha. Lovely.
Lovely. So that was a little easier.
You had a little bit of a foundation at the time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And but then what really happened was that after we broke up, like, I was like, oh, okay, like,
now I'm really on my own.
Yeah, I need support, you know, and I want people around me. And, and some of my classmates were still there, which is always nice, you know, and there's always new Juilliard people moving out.
Right.
And so that's a lot of my community people. But also, you know, I went to this acting class, like on-camera class for a little bit when I first moved out, and some of my friends I met through there, you know, some of my like close friends. So that has been a really good support. Yeah, and just always trying to connect with, if I do meet new people and if I do have a connection with them, I make more of an effort to stay.
Right.
You know,
follow up and really make it a thing.
Yeah. Because normally I wouldn't do that. I'm not the type of person who's like, let's hang out, you know?
Right.
But definitely being more forward about,
hey,
I want to connect with you and we should, you know, and see if it goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Like a relationship.
Good for you.
Good for me.
So, what sorts of things have you found out there to kind of keep you grounded with besides the business stuff?
Besides the business
stuff. I know it's more TV and film based out there, mm-hmm. which is obviously artistically rewarding. Mm-hmm. In certain ways, but it's a different kind of lifestyle than, like, working on plays and, like, can be more commercial. It can be more...
Definitely.
You know, working on something for 2 days instead mm-hmm. of 3 months.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah, it's a
lot... How do you find stability within that, is, I guess, what I'm asking.
It's a lot of letdowns, you know? And the thing about working on TV and film and, you know, trying to get work there is that it's such a letdown after you work. Because the best part of really, in my experience till now, is when you get the call that you booked it. It's not necessarily the experience.
Right. Because that's not the finished product.
Exactly.
You do your thing and then they're editing it and right. putting it out. And then people see it like, months later.
Like a year later sometimes, yeah. you know. So it's a lot of like, okay, I did this, you know. And it took me a while to be like, okay, what can I do that's gonna keep me sane?
Right.
And I'm not the type of person who does a lot of things. I have no hobbies. I have, you know, and like acting was my whole life.
Right. You're very focused.
Yeah. That's why I moved to America, you know, so I felt like if I didn't give my whole to this, for some reason, I would fail. And I moved here when I was in high school, like end of high school. So this was my entire life. So like finding that was hard. I just spend a lot of time with my good friends. I guess that's a really big thing. For a while I couldn't have a day job because I couldn't work with my visa.
Right.
And I didn't want to get into any trouble. So I never had a side job, which was hard.
Yeah.
You know, not that I enjoy side job, but I also love meeting people, you know, and I didn't really right. have...
And to have that income, too.
Had to have an income, so... Right. So I hung out with a lot of my friends, you know, and, like, try to... Like, we hike, mm-hmm. you know, that's a big thing in
that's
L.A.
That's what I hear in L.A. Yeah. People do.
And I hate Sounds moving. Like, I hate, like, I despise moving. I want to stay on my couch and, like, eat potato chips. And, like, you know what? Honestly... Having good food, like, you know, and, like, cooking and,
yeah.
like, just trying to find, like, my niche. Like, what do I love? And watching a lot of Korean dramas. Like, you know, stuff like that. It's so, it might be, like, something little, but I also realized the more older I get, I miss my culture.
Yeah.
You know, I miss Korean food. I miss Korean people. I miss,
yeah.
and I hate.
It's a long way to be from home.
Yeah, it's a long way, and you forget. Because I'm so, and I was like, and randomly, like, I think it was my second year in second year in LA, and I was just like, oh, there was, like, new Korean drama that everybody was crazy about, and I watched an episode of that, and the amount of joy I got out of it was crazy. It really made me happy just yeah. to feel like, oh, like, right, and like, there is that part of the world that I'm not in right now, but yeah. I actually enjoy. And it's also great to kind of, because it deals with a lot of acting, right? Like, Korean drama is acting, and, like, it's something I always want to be a part of. But it also, like, gives me a little, like, leverage to be detached to it. Like, I don't be, like compare myself with those actors, because it's not my world, you know?
Right, you're doing something else.
I'm focusing on my American career.
Right.
You know, so... It's, like, I can actually enjoy just, you know, watching a good, like, a good yeah. show and, like, hearing Korean and, yeah. you know, and eating some kimchi stew that I made. Like, that's my biggest joy, honestly.
So when did that choice come for you? Like, do you ever feel the draw to be like, oh, well, maybe I should go back into this, like, the smaller pool of mm-hmm. actors who are pursuing acting in Korea?
In Korea.
Or I... You know, you obviously came to school here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when did that decision happen for you? Is it something you're always reconsidering? Like,
I mean, I always want to go back, honestly. And
because
yeah.
Your parents are there.
Yeah, my parents are there. My whole family's there. You know, that's my first language. You know, and
right.
And but it was also never an option for me. I came to America because the pool there is not only smaller, but it's also very specific the way the acting industry works, or any industry really. It's a lot based on looks.
Really?
Looks is a big thing, and And not that I think, oh, like, you know, I'm not pretty or anything, but right. it's just but
it's
very
a specific,
very
look.
Specific look, you yeah. know, the, a lot of plastic surgery, you know, and it's everybody goes through it, you know, and the way they do it is also not necessarily through training and you become a good actor. It's right. more like
there wasn't a program there where mm-hmm. you would have been like, okay, if I get into the school,
I can at least have a foundation.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, my parents were all about longevity. You know, if you want to do this, it's longevity. You don't want one show to be a hit thing in Korea and then just never work again.
Right.
So, so I think the decision was kind of made for me. I wanted to do it professionally and then I came here but I always have I always want to go back, you know?
So that's something that I usually ask is like, how does your family take in your choice to be an artist as for your living, you know? So how are your parents dealing with it at this point? It sounds like they were supportive.
They were really supportive. Well, I think my mom and dad...
they let you leave home.
Yeah, you know, they are so brave for doing that because they're not in the art industry. None of my family are in the art.
What do your parents do?
My dad's a lawyer, and now he teaches at a university as a law professor, you know, and my mom's a doctor. She's a psychologist. Like
very stable.
Very stable, yeah. Academic, you know, and my whole family's like that. It's either law or, you know, or doctors. So, I mean, I'm living the stereotype. I'm from Korea, by the way. So it's just, I think what my mom said, she was worried the most about was that she just didn't know if I had any talents. She just had no idea because she
doesn't have a gauge of
what
that
so is. She didn't know, oh, like she could actually make like do this, you know. And I do agree to some point. She was saying with arts or sports, you know, or
and it's subjective.
It's subjective, but you also need to have some sort of born with that quality, like you know, you work on it, of course, on your craft, but you do have to have some kind of, you know, it's not all about love, you know, you can't just love the thing, you have to have some kind of, you know, talents that you're born with. And she was just really worried that I didn't have that, you know. And I totally, at the time, I didn't understand, but I totally, if I ever had a kid, I think that's something I need to be subjective.
Well, because your perception as a parent.
Right.
It's like.
Yeah.
You know, 80% love. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. So she was just worried about that. But I think things changed because I got into Juilliard.
Yeah.
And
it's big.
Yeah.
But you were already living here before you auditioned or no?
Yeah, I was at Interlochen Arts Academy in Michigan.
Oh, so, I don't think I made that connection.
Yeah.
From Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah, I saw your phone call.
Like Southeastern Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, I loved Michigan. I only went to school there, but I had a great time. I was in the drama program and I got into Juilliard, so when that happened, I think she was really...
Gives them some confidence.
Yeah, she was like, okay, like, you know, it's not all just in her head that she can do this. Like, she can actually, you know, she'll do something with it at some point. So that changed a lot, and she's very supportive.
Well, it's kind of nice that you've been doing a lot of TV and film, because I'm sure then they can see it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, they loved, like, especially in Korea, because Disney's a name, you know?
Right.
So they were like, when I was on the Disney show, they were like, oh, she's on the Disney show.
So what was that like? Because you were on that Disney show, which is like a kid's show.
Yeah.
As an adult.
Yeah, as a...
So what was that like for you?
I mean, it's
to be in that world.
Yeah, it was... I mean, I had such a blast. It was my first TV job.
And say the name of the show again so people know.
It was on Austin. I was on Austin and Ally.
That's right. Yes.
The season's done and the show's over, but it was such a fun show. I mean, I spoke Korean the whole time. Yeah. I mean, my character was great because she understood English, but she's only spoken Korean.
Gotcha.
You know, and
so you got to be a little snarky.
Yeah, it was like one of those snarky worlds. Yeah. It wasn't at all like, oh, she can't speak English. Right. It was actually she's smart and she understands everything. She just chooses not to, you know. So it was
just,
really
like, comment on everything.
Yeah, she comments on in Korean all the time, and she's like, I think she's a badass. So it was
really fun. I mean, you know, I was fortunate enough that I looked young enough to like play a 16-year-old on the show.
Take it.
I was like, thank you.
I will take this paycheck.
I will take it and have so much fun. And everybody was actually honestly like really nice. And I got to like kind of be in the Disney circle a little bit where, you know, I was being considered for a lot of other projects.
Cool.
Yeah. And
where they try to like take care of their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they liked me. So they were trying to find projects for me to be part of. So I was in that world for a while. And then, so I had a really, really, it was one of my like favorite jobs, honestly, on TV, because it just also that excitement of your first job.
Of course.
And, you know, and I was only supposed to be on one episode. I just happened to become a recurring on the show, you know, so it was definitely, and it was a while, like it was a year, more than a year and a half after I moved out.
That's awesome.
So I had a lot of fun.
And your Disney job.
My Disney job. It was great.
So tell me a little bit about the play you're doing now.
Oh my God.
Is this the first play you've done in a while?
It's, you know what? No, I did a show last year at Signature called Love and Money. It was...
Oh no, I totally missed it.
Oh, it's totally fine.
I love Signature, but...
Yeah, they're great. And it was Eric Gurney's new show.
Okay.
And yeah, and it was really nice... I was really happy because Jim was there at the time, and I got a chance to, you know,
reconnect with him
before he passed away, and so it was really great. This show, I mean, this show is Leah mind-blowing. Like, it's so good. The show is so good. Tracy Letts is the writer.
Amazing.
I mean, he's... you know, Tracy Letts, and he's just fantastic. And yeah.
And you auditioned in LA.
So I auditioned in LA. I actually, like, it was really funny. I couldn't be seen for this role for a while, uh-huh. I think. I was trying to get him for the workshop at some point when they were doing it a couple of months ago. I couldn't be seen for it. I think because they were casting mostly in New York. And so I've known the show in the back of my head, but... you know, the opportunity didn't come until they were looking for people in LA, and I auditioned, and I actually like showed up a week earlier. I was in this like rockabilly gear. I play a Vietnamese rockabilly girl.
Okay.
And I was like tatted up.
You were ready.
I was ready to go. I was ready to rip this part. I was so, like, when I read the script, like, and, you know.
She has pink hair right now. Partially pink hair.
And it's cool. and I was just so ready. And then I was at this Equity building in LA that I've never been to. And
Equity exists.
Yeah, Equity exists. I was like, what is this new building?
Right.
And nobody was there, and I had to leave because I was a week earlier.
Oh no!
And I was, but it gave me more time to prepare, which
True.
Was good.
It's never. Did you mention it to them? When
yeah.
You went in?
Well, I think I mentioned it to them like actually like after I got
after
cast.
The fact, yeah.
But I just it was one of those. It's just one of those scripts that I, you know, I mean. LA writing is great, you know, and, you know, pilots are fun.
But play is different.
But play, and as an Asian woman, mm-hmm. and, you know, a woman of color, like, it's very rare that you meet a role like this. I recently did another, like, written interview for this Asian, I think, blog magazine, uh-huh. and I actually went on a rant. Like, I hate writing, but I went on a rant about how... like, I would be lucky. I would be such a lucky actor if I ever get to meet a role like this in my life. Like, ever. You know, it's just a fact, you know? And not only because this role is amazing, but also because the opportunity is so rare to, you know, to fall in a, you know, in love with the role for any actor, but especially an actor of color, you know? The variety is very...
well, there's
small.
A lot of stereotypes.
A lot of stereotypes. And, you know, and I talk about this a lot where as much as I love Asian plays, quote unquote Asian plays, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's a very important story to be told. But a lot of the times it just finishes at
being an Asian play about Asian people.
Right. This is a person and who happens to be Asian.
And that's right. What I was, like, most thankful about Tracy for writing a part like this is that, you know, yeah, like, she's a Vietnamese rockabilly, and we actually, I guess they, you know, theater, Steppenwolf had a conversation about being, how is it to cast, is it okay to cast a Korean actor also in right. a Vietnamese role? And, you know, and, right. Which is a very important conversation to have, but totally. Also part of me, was kind of sad about that because when it comes to, like, Caucasian roles, right? Like the typical, like, Caucasian actors, white actors, they can play Irish, you know, European, like any, like, you know, British, anything, right? It's not as precious. Like it's, you know, you just assume.
They're good conversations to have.
But it's great conversation. And it's
tricky.
It's an important conversation to have, actually. But it does make me feel like, oh, like, what? So does that mean I only have to play Korean characters for the rest of my life, you know? And I had to, like, ask myself that question too, like, being like, you know, but the thing is, I'm an actor, and yeah, you know,
you want to transform.
And I want to transform. And I was, you know, I was like, if I have to speak Vietnamese in this play because she's of Vietnamese descent, then I will learn my lines, work my ass off
exactly
on doing that job. I will make it perfect because that's right. my job as an actor, not because I'm a Korean actor.
No, and I know Frankie, my husband, has talked about that a lot, about, like, you want to be able to transform, and if you cast him as a Cuban actor as mm-hmm. a Colombian character, mm-hmm. then he's going to do the work and he's going to make the accent
make it work.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But you can't just say, oh, it's a Latino character, I'm casting this Mexican person.
And, oh, like, yeah.
They're just going to use their Mexican accent, even right. though it doesn't make sense.
No, definitely, like, not. And I think
you need to be specific.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah. And I think that's our job. So yeah. that's why I think I was a little sad about it, because I was like, I mean, hopefully the actor will do their job and yeah. transform, you know, and make sure. And because I'm Korean, I'll work even harder to make sure that I'm not, you know, I will, you know, so, but I also love this role because, you know, I mean, she doesn't speak Vietnamese, but she's Vietnamese American.
Right.
And she's just a character that I've never really seen ever before. She has pink hair. She's tatted up, you know, she's rockabilly. She has her own arc in the story. She's strong. She's badass. She's, you know, I mean, she has a lot of things that she's going through, and a lot of, you know.
Yeah, she's not just supporting someone else in the story.
No, that's, like, great. You know, I mean, yeah, she's her own character, and she has her own, and she's so rich. Like, she's just a rich person. She's not a rich Asian person. She's a rich person.
Right.
And, you know, Tracy's ability to write a character like that is...
It's amazing.
It's amazing, you know? So, and my castmates are so good.
like, how big is the cast? How many people?
There's like, I think like 6-7, including uh-huh. me, 6-7.
It's so exciting.
It's, yeah. I mean,
Steppenwolf's an amazing theater.
Steppenwolf is an amazing theater. Chicago actors are amazing.
Yeah.
Like, and all of them have lived in, one of my castmates lives in LA right now, but
most of them are from Chicago.
Yeah. But even her, she lived in Chicago for a long time.
That's,
you know,
great.
So all of them are Chicago based actors, and I'm
so
the
you
only...
get to, like, kind of be a part of that and get welcomed into that.
Oh my God. They're amazing. Oh. They're just mind blowing. Like, it's
so exciting.
It's so, yeah. So I'm really excited. This play is amazing. I love the story. I love every character.
Oh,
I love
so
my
sad
part.
I'm not gonna get to see it, but that's really great.
I know, it's so good.
Oh my goodness. So I know. Anything. Well, you don't have to answer this if you don't want to. But I know you're in a relationship right now.
I am
with another actor.
With
is
another
that true?
Actor.
How's
it's
that,
true.
How is that for you guys to be two artists in a relationship?
All right. We're going to dive into this. Okay. Let me get ready.
And I'm doing long distance right now, which I totally
am.
Understand.
Yeah. So he's in New York and I'm in LA.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was assuming you were both in LA and right now you're long distance, but he is in New York.
He's in New York.
Jesus.
We met doing the play at Signature.
Oh, wow.
And okay. We started out doing long distance.
Jeez.
Yeah. And actually, he spent like 6 months in LA with me. So it was nice to build that foundation of being together. And we went to Korea together, which was really nice.
Aww, you got to meet your family.
Uh-huh. First boyfriend to go to Korea and meet my family.
Amazing.
It's hard. Being in a relationship with an actor is really hard. I've only really dated actors, you know. So I don't know what it is like to really date a normal person. Normal, quote unquote. You know, I mean, you've dated Frankie for a long time, as long as I've known you. So it's tricky. I think we are learning how to. Also, we've only dated for a year and a half, so it's not that long. So we're still learning about each other, but we're also learning how to, I think, both him and I are learning how to be with each other when one is working and one is not. And when both
support how to support those situations.
Exactly. Right. How, or even how to work together when we're both working or both not working. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really tricky. Right now I'm in a situation where I'm working and he's not.
Right.
I've been having a hard time connecting with him. No, and it has nothing to do, and I have to tell him this, and I have to remind myself, it has nothing to do with him and I. Right now I want to be, and I'm also a very selfish actor when it comes to, you know, my process. I really want to.
You're just like completely invested in
it. I'm invested in it. Right. Yeah. And it's hard. It's like, I don't want to ever feel like I have to give up, you know, some of the process to connect with, you know, somebody else. And this not only comes to him, it comes to my friends too. Like, you know, sometimes I just want to, you know, indulge myself into it. And but also, how do I make him not feel like he's left out? You know, like, I totally forgot about him, because it really has nothing to do with him. I know he's always there, and he's supportive, and he's really, you know, there for me. So it's been tricky. I'm still figuring out. I can't answer that question, like, necessarily.
That's okay.
Because we haven't worked it out yet. Yeah. You know, we're still working on it.
Figuring it out as you go.
Yeah, figuring out on as I go. But, you know, we make sure we talk to each other every day, you know, especially when we're doing long distance. And, you know, try to involve him in my process. You know, that has been a big thing, like, you know, to talk about it as actors, you know. And so, yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's really, really hard.
It's beautiful but hard.
Beautiful.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you two more questions just to wrap it up.
Oh, my God, totally.
And so one of them is, like, when you are feeling like you're in the dark side. Or you're uninspired, like, what are some concrete things that you reach for to try to help you come out of it? Like a book you always read, or music you listen to, or a place you go, or something like that.
I really try to go and see theater, really.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been my go-to, like, find theater. And because it's always so inspirational to see, you know, even if it's bad theater, to see people
live,
alive,
doing something.
Live, yeah. That's the thing, live.
It's different,
like,
from watching a movie.
Yeah, and I love movies and TVs, and it's really fun, but I have to be honest, I've never been really inspired by, like, I enjoy it, you know?
Yeah.
But I've never been truly inspired by, and I recognize great acting, you know? I know they're good actors, but it never, like, really hits me to the bottom of my core. And with theater, even when it's bad theater, like, it's just amazing to me to watch people who are doing something. Like, even if they're moving, like, a table on stage, you know, it's just, it takes a lot of balls, you know? It takes a lot of balls to do, you know, what we do.
Yeah.
So I always try to go and see, you know, LA is a great place for a 99-seat theater, you know, and there are actually really great work being produced by that.
Yeah.
And also they have big theaters like Mark Taper and, you know, Geffen. That's always nice to go to, too. But I always try and see theater. And, yeah, because I don't necessarily have a book. Or, like, you know, I listen to a lot of K-pop, but I don't know if that's inspiring.
I mean, if it gets you out of that spot.
I mean, it does, you know? It really does. Like, watching, like, Korean game shows or, like, you know, something like...
Hit the YouTube.
And yeah, hit the YouTube and just watch Korean people talk. You know, that's pretty nice.
That all makes sense, yeah. And then the last question is, have you seen anything recently that you want to recommend? In LA or here?
You know, yeah, I actually just saw Uncle Vanya.
Which just closed.
Just
right?
Closed. Here at the Goodman.
Because I'm doing Uncle Vanya in New York right now.
You are?
In a bar. It's called Drunkle Vanya.
Oh my God. So I heard that's really fun.
It's really fun.
Right?
But I was thinking about trying to see it this weekend, but I just got here and like we needed to spend time together. I didn't go see it. But 100%. I heard it was really good.
It's two of my castmates are in it. They are some super people because they are playing Uncle Vanya and Sonia.
Nice.
And they come to rehearsal after
Now they're finally over.
Yeah. I just don't know how they do
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it was a really great show. They were both amazing. I would definitely recommend that, but that ended. I'm seeing actually Straight White Men at Steppenwolf next week.
Okay, great.
So I'm excited about that, you know, Young
Jin Lee. Are there any, like, particular theaters in LA that, like, maybe you haven't seen a specific show recently, but there are always places you like to go?
Yeah, they have the Row Theater is a good theater.
Okay.
IAMA, John Karen, who went to Juilliard, he's involved with, and a lot of... I think NYU Tisch people. I think they're the one who Leslie Headland.
Okay.
Most of her plays were first produced there, and I was in a. I also find out about that theater because, I did Leslie Headland's play in Philadelphia, and that was my first job assistance, at Wilma Theater, and that was my first job ever. So, and you know, I heard that most of her plays. Were produced there first and went to like playwrights and you know and now she's a big name but yeah so they do a lot of new work so I try to go to workshops there and stuff like that if I can. Yeah,
well, thank you so much for doing this, especially on late notice.
Oh my God,
I appreciate it. It's so nice to catch up with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Compass Podcast. I'm Leah Walsh. More episodes are coming soon. Please look for us on Facebook and iTunes. I'd like to thank the following people for their generosity. The Compass cover art is by Kim Miller, music by Brendan Spieth, audio assistance from Nick Choksi, and a special thanks to Frankie J. Alvarez. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.